Translation. Thus, when all these became assembled by the force of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this universe certainly came into being by accepting both the primary and secondary causes of the creation. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In this verse, it is certainly mentioned that the Supreme Personality of Godhead exerts His different energies in the creation. It is not that He Himself is transformed into the material creation. He expands Himself by His different energies as well as by His plenary portions. In a corner of the spiritual sky, or the Brahmajyoti, a spiritual cloud sometimes appears, and the covered portion is called the Mahatattva. The Lord, then, by His plenary portion as Mahavishnu, lies down within the water of the Mahatattva, and the water is called the causal ocean, Karana Jala. While Mahavishnu sleeps within the causal ocean, innumerable universes are generated along with His breathing. These universes are floating and are scattered all over the causal ocean. They stay only during the breathing period of Mahavishnu. In each and every universal globe, the same Mahavishnu enters again as Gaurakshai Vishnu and lies there on the serpent-like Shesh incarnation. From His navel sprouts a lotus stem. On the lotus, Brahma, the Lord of the universe, is born. Brahma creates all forms of living beings of different shapes in terms of different desires within the universe. He also creates the sun, moon, and other demigods. Therefore, the chief engineer of this material creation is the Lord Himself, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 9.10. 9.10 is Marjak Shenapakriti Suya Se Sa Characharam He Tanu Nena Kuntaya Jagat Vi Paripatiti. It is He only who directs the material nature to produce all sorts of moving and non-moving creations. There are two modes of material creation: the creation of the collective universes, as stated above, done by Mahavishnu, and the creation of the single universe. Both are done by the Lord, and thus the universal shape, as we see it, takes place. Om Gyanatim Rondashagin Anjana Shalakaya Chakshushumilitam Dina Tasmai Sigurin Maha Sri Taitanya Manobis Domastavitam Dina Bhutali Sram Rupa Garamayam Dharanti Isavanakam Om Jabadaya Gurbada Bhutalis Manisha Gurgavinda Swamini Tanamani Om Jabadaya Gurbada Bhutalis Matabatana Tasmatanamani Gulu Bhutta Vandiki Jaya. So a very interesting verse here. One famous acharya, not so famous, but someone, one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, he said, this is where the... Huh? Volume pop? He said, this is where the whole misconception, or our misconception, originates from, this creation. This creation is put together by the Lord. Why? Because of the individual desires of the jiva. Previous to this creation, the jivas were already in existence, and they were conducting fruitive activities by their free will. And they were wandering, Brahmananda, Brahmati, Korni, Bhagavan, Jiva, wandering all over the universes, time and time again, doing such, searching for what? What do you think they're searching for? Happiness, yes. Anandamoya Bhisat. We are searching for perfect happiness. Where will we find perfect happiness? will we find perfect happiness. You know that verse, Janishvara Shridha Shubhya Idhamanamadam Navyat Arihacham Va Tams Kinshna Gochuram. Will we find perfect happiness through good education, through beauty, through taking birth in a very good family? Where will we find this happiness? What will satisfy us? This is the question we need to ask ourselves, because we've been doing this for some time. And Krishna allows us to do so during the creation, but after a while he gets a bit tired of it, and therefore he just winds it up. And then again, after a while, Prabhupada describes in one purport that sometimes the wife or the husband wakes up the wife for enjoyment. So similarly, Krishna wants to expand his enjoyment. Therefore, again, he expands. Actually, we have the picture here. Again, he expands the universes. Why is he doing so? To give the living entity a chance to understand where his real pleasure lies. And also because Krishna is anandam, he is ever-increasing. What's that, ever-increasing? Anandamodivadam, ever-increasing. He is ever-increasing his bliss. He's always looking to increase his loving exchanges. So anyway, the point is that we might think that by good education, by good birth, by beauty, we will find happiness. And actually the fact is that when we look at the material world, those that have beauty, those that have high education, those that have Lakshmi, those that have high culture, those that have an insight into perhaps the finer things in life, they do enjoy their life in a little bit fuller way. And perhaps they experience some higher realms of ras in some senses. For instance, a highly cultured aristocrat who is not only highly cultured, but he is also very well bred and very respectful to all. When he listens to some music, perhaps, his mind might go to wonderful places where he can conceive of some higher realm, perhaps. This could be there, because artists and great thinkers and even the yogis in India, they are looking to elevate their consciousness. So happiness really is derived from elevation of consciousness. So in the perverted version of the Vedic culture, which is currently or was prevalent in India due to the corruption of the Brahminical classes, it was thought that simply by birth you would be able to elevate your consciousness. But actually that's not a fact, although there is some truth in it. This idea of social development or of getting on in life, which if you listen to any politician or any political thinker, they always had the idea, yes, get on in your life. And what do they tell you? Yes, go to school, get educated, get cultured. So there is some truth in these things. But one thing you'll notice in the English culture is that you can do that from any background. You can go to Cambridge if you come from a councillor state. Previously you couldn't do that, but now you can. So there is some thoughts in the world that everyone should go on a path of elevating themselves. They misunderstand, in some senses, where the elevation will really take place. But we do not deny in our Krishna conscious movement that high education and high culture is valuable. Therefore, yashasvi sakshi bhagavata kinchana sarvai guna. One who becomes Vaishnava, he becomes very knowledgeable, very cultured, and he is tatikshva karuna kaha suri dan savarehinama jata savata sandasa deva sarubhushna. All his characteristics are sublime. Why? Because he is a yogi, he's perfect yogi, he's detached from the material conception. When we have a attachment to the material world, naturally we become biased and we have hidden agendas, isn't it? I think we can separately say that. Today it's very difficult to get news. I've noticed, you may have noticed, isn't it, the last few years, it's become very prominent. Where do you get good news from? Because the so-called freedom of speech, which is touted by the American left-wingers, well, they're going to shut you down. If you don't agree with their idea of free speech, they'll close you down. So there's something called council culture. They'll cancel you. I do predict, actually, the Hare Krishna movement, if the left-wing liberals in America get their way, there's no way they can allow us to do any of these broadcastings of the Krishna consciousness movement. Because when they read Prabhupada's books and they understand what we are all about, they may not like the idea. Of course, in Krishna consciousness, in our culture, in the Vedas, it's very, very broad. So actually, if they're intelligent, they will thoroughly accept us because we are acceptable to all classes of men. And we have an opportunity for all classes of men, as was the case when, even when Kali came to the king wanted to kill because he was killing the cow. So then Kali said, well, when am I supposed to go? Okay, yes, I will give you some place. So in Vedic culture, everything is taken care of. Therefore, there's 18 Puranas, 6 in the mode of goodness, 6 in the mode of passion, 6 in the mode of ignorance. So we're fit in somewhere. But as far as we're concerned, if we want to advance in culture and knowledge, we must hear from the Vaishnava Brahmins, who are well cultured, who are knowledgeable, who are detached from the material world, and who are entering into an understanding of the original position of the jiva, which is to become a ashraya vishaya, as Srila Gaugamana Swami used to always say. Ashraya vishaya. We have to become the ashraya. We have to become the enjoyed. And in relationships, we have experience. In any relationship we have, we try to give pleasure to others. So this whole misconception that Krishna is doing here, he is producing this material world for us too, and for the jivas to become false vishayas. Go and become an enjoy. You try to enjoy. Try to enjoy your senses. And to some extent you will succeed according, but there's set rules and regulations. If you follow certain rules and regulations, you'll enjoy more. And as you enjoy, you'll gain knowledge. It's a perfect system, actually. If you follow the Varnashram system properly, you will enjoy and you will gain knowledge. So it's perfect. But if it's corrupted, the whole thing falls apart, as was the case in India. And therefore, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, our great modern acharya, he saw through all these falsities and he began the process of establishing proper Vedic culture. And he prayed for his son, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Goswami, came And he, again, such a knowledgeable gentleman that if you were to hear his class, many people couldn't understand him at all. He had to have other people under him who understood him better, and then, because they were very scholarly themselves, and they would do the translations. Like today we have, social media, and we can get some understanding perhaps. There was no tape recorders, it was just like one lecture. So actually, Sridhar Swami, he was a very great scholar, and people would always go to him and say, well, what did he mean by this, this, this? And he would translate and tell the gist of what was to a lot of his other scholars. But actually, a lot of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's leading disciples are very scholarly in themselves. And during the time after Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, they all set their mats up in different places. There was no big preaching effort worldwide, but they, for some reason or another, in fact, it came to me the other day, here's a question. Supposing that the GBC that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami wanted to be formed, and it was formed as he desired, and Prabhupada became part of that movement because he would have become part of that GBC. Do you think that the Hare Krishna movement worldwide I was thinking, well, maybe it may not have taken place in the same way. So it is thought by some scholars that sometimes arrangements are made by Krishna. We may have our plans, he has other plans. So for some reason or another, all the Gaudiya mats, they set up their mats, and Prabhupada was not able to partake in this system. But there must have been a plan, and ultimately we can see it forced Prabhupada to come to the West under circumstances, and the whole Hare Krishna movement became. So this is all the arrangement of Krishna. So we have to follow Vaishnava Brahmin authorities, and we have to gain our knowledge from them. And in the Krishna consciousness movement, everything we have is available. For instance, economics is there, the perfect social system, the social sciences are there, the arts are there, everything is there. You can, once one thing is known, everything is known. If you know Krishna, you know everything, because you link to that great culture, and you link to the various acharyas. Now, the interesting thing about the acharyas are they sometimes differ. And they might differ in two ways. One way they might differ is because you have to weigh up time, place, and circumstances. So there are time, place, and circumstances. There's certain things that have to be done in the 20th century that perhaps weren't done previously. So a very good Vaishnava Brahmin Acharya, he knows time, place, circumstances, and he applies the teachings accordingly. If we look at the Artha Shastra, there's the Artha Shastra and the Dharma Shastra. For instance, if in the future the Hare Krishna movement somehow or other become advisors to government men, and someone is caught stealing in the 21st century, how are we going to deal? Because you look at the Artha Shastra, you go back to the Shastra, they'll tell you what punishment is available. Well, we're living in the 21st century, therefore we cannot apply the Shastra in the same way. So the very intelligent Brahmins who understand time, place, and circumstances will adjust accordingly and fit into the modern world. And Prabhupada was an ideal example of that. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was. So this is a very important point. That's one way they differ. Another way they may differ is in their understanding of Leela, Krishna Leela. as well, because each individual living entity, jiva, he has a specific relationship with Krishna. So in the spiritual world, there's all kinds of rasas taking place. So according to your rasa with Krishna, you will see Krishna and you will understand the rasa in a certain way. Someone else may see it differently and may apply a different view or a different type of pastime. That goes on in our Shastra as well. Interestingly enough, we hear that when we leave this material world, if we are reasonably perfected in our spiritual life, where will we go? We are told that we will go to the place where Krishna is doing his lila, right, in one universe, and get further training, isn't it? You know where that comes from, that knowledge? We hear it, but where is the source of that? The source is Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Maharaj. That is his understanding of what will our destination be. It seems practical because to get further training, you're almost perfected. You're almost entering into your relationship with Krishna. And so in your next life, you take place in the universe and you take birth in perhaps one of the families of the gopis. You take birth in the womb. And if you're a cowherd boy, you get to learn from the other cowherd boys how to further. I mean, it seems logical, and you can well understand why Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Maharaj would have applied that, because he's a kind of a modern acharya. He's the guru of Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj was the shiksha guru of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So, but actually, Rupa Goswami, he doesn't say that. He says at the end of your life, if you are a devotee, you go straight back to Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. So you can see different acharyas have different opinions on different matters according to time, place, circumstances. So acharyas differ. One time, actually it was very interesting, there was one devotee who once asked why all the acharyas have different opinions. And a good explanation is one is that, for instance, on the higher realms of Ras, okay, Mother Yashoda wants Krishna in bed at night. The gopis and Radharani have a different idea. So there's a difference there, difference of opinion, or difference of how they think things should go. And another point was that according to your realization, your opinions will differ. If you're Majjham, Kanishtha, Uttama, you'll have different opinions and you'll have different realizations of a particular topic. So there's no way you can all be the same. And another point is that some discussions one might have among the more advanced devotees, you don't really want to have them discussions with the beginner devotees because it might disturb their faith. You know, if they see different acharyas arguing on something, it might disturb their faith, and they might think, oh, I thought everyone was supposed to be pure. You know, so there are different ways of dealing with things. Anyway, getting it back to this particular point here of the cause of all causes, it's quite interesting how the modern scientists of today will confirm or at least there will be parallels with some of the things we're reading here. For instance, let's take light, for instance, because here we mentioned that Krishna, as a Mahavishnu, is lying in this causal ocean, the Mahatattva, in one portion of the spiritual world, some cloud comes about, and Krishna, in his Karnadaksha Vishnu form, he lies down. There's water, and then there's Vishnu. For life, we require water, and we also require light. So we can look at the parallels there. In this particular life, we know that without water there will be no life, and we know that without light there will be no life. So light and water mix and create light. So here we see in the Kamalaksha Vishnu, he's lying on this ocean. So this light, because God sometimes is understood to be light, he is light, it is impersonal energy, Brahmajyoti. So the light of the Brahmajyoti is said to be devolved, and it is transformed into many different energies. And therefore, Maxwell's law, I think it's Maxwell, he sees the comparison between all types of light that we see in the world, and energy, like magnetic energy, static energy, different waves of light. They all form in different ways, but they come from an original source. And in the Vedas, it says the original source will be the sun. The sun is devolved from the Brahmajyoti. So the sun produces these photons. These photons of light are flying everywhere, and they're in atoms and so on and so forth. So there is a comparison, and one interesting thing to note is that light, although everything around us, Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Sri Gona Taiki Jai. Everything around us is made of atoms, but light is the only thing that is not made of atoms. And interestingly enough, light particles will travel forever unless they're absorbed into something like an atom or something. They will carry on forever. So light, we say that the light originates from the Brahmajyoti. The Brahmajyoti is a spiritual light, the effulgence of the Lord. So here we are, even modern scientists will tell you that light is partly eternal. It just goes on and on and on. If you have a light wave, it'll just keep going until it's absorbed into another topic, into another, and then it gets transformed and then thrown out somewhere else. So this is quite interesting. So the idea that Krishna has created everything, as we see here, Prabhupada makes, the first point he makes is that some people think that when Krishna creates everything, he's become everything. Well, maya tatamidam sarvam jagavayakta murtina. In one sense, he's everything, but in another sense, he isn't, because Krishna has energies. What's that verse? Krishna has many energies? Yes, he has many different energies. So Krishna does not become everything, but the unintelligent, avyaktim vyaktim apana manyate man abhudaya, the unintelligent, they think, Krishna says, unintelligent men do not know me, because Krishna is standing on the battlefield of Kshatriya as a two-handed form. Unintelligent men, abhudaya, they do not know me. They think that I've assumed this personality just to teach of my impersonal or my godly form of me spread everywhere. And this is not really the ultimate personality. This impersonal has become personal just to teach you of the impersonal. So this is what the many Mayavad philosophers will think like that, because they cannot stand the idea of surrendering to a supreme personality or Godhead and exchanging rasa with him. Because why? Because they're envious. They want to be that personality who is the king of Ras. So in frustration, they go on strike. They do not. They cannot be that person who is the master of all Ras. So they go on strike and they become Brahman. So no, this is not good. So in our scripture, we have the understanding. No, we cannot. We do not abide by those that think that they can give up their Ras by merging into, or we cannot abide those that think they are the Supreme Lord or that they are the enjoyers. Rather, we have the idea of understanding who the origin is. So this avyakti vyakti mutta, I am not manifested to such personality. So for Krishna to manifest before us is not such an easy thing. Why would he manifest before us? Just like if you love someone, you'll understand that person fully. Otherwise, you will not understand that person fully. Unless you love someone, you will not understand that person fully. Why? Why is there some... what is the problem? What is the issue? You got issues, Prabhu. What is these issues? These are called anattas, the anatta nivritti process. So there's some anattas there. So among Krishna, we have some issues. We have to resolve these issues. And fortunately, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to teach us the process, how to resolve these issues. Krishna is very kind. The Christians have the idea that we have trespassed against God. You remember the Christian prayer? You remember that? Every morning we used to say, "Oh God, forgive me, I have trespassed against you." Why have I trespassed against God? Why? I've tried to become an enjoyer. I've denied your beauty. I've denied your wisdom. Why did that take place? This is the point. In the Tatashtra region, somehow or other, we were given this free will, and some of us, there's no issue with Krishna. Krishna doesn't have any issues with us. We have issues with him. Even if we have issues against him, he still doesn't have any issues against us. Therefore, he's equal to everyone. And misunderstanding is there. Even among ourselves, sometimes a misunderstanding. So we have to resolve this misunderstanding. So there's a whole process by which we can clarify these points and get our consciousness straight. And basically it boils down to love, bliss, beauty, and appreciating the greatness and appreciating the greatness of others, and also the wonderful thing is that when you appreciate the greatness of others, you share in their love and their bliss as well. So this is the concept of this idea. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Subject Avinai, that we have this love of God. We do have the love of God. That is our purpose. Lord Balaram, in his form of Shankarshan or Mahavishnu, has expanded. I'm considering that Lord Balaram is a great servant of Krishna. Therefore, what would he do? Oh, let's expand Krishna's pleasure. So he expands himself via Balaram, and then. The jivas, they're supposed to follow Balaram's mood of being, but some of them, because of free will, decide to go on their own way. So this whole creation is going on for rectification of the issues of the jiva. And it's a wonderful creation, very intelligently put together. And if this creation actually was done by Krishna, there would be evidence of Krishna in his creation. So as far as we are concerned, as preachers of the Hare Krishna movement, we're going to have to convince people that, yes, this is a fact. There is what's called, as the Discovery Institute, which is a wonderful institute, called it. If you don't know the Discovery Institute, you should log on to their website, because they are PhD scientists in various forms, and they are responsible for the intelligent design movement. And the intelligent design movement is a bit like Sadaputa's, Prabhupada's Bhaktivedanta Institute. So Prabhupada tasked Sadaputa and Sarup Damodar and others to look at this fifth canto, look at this kind of stuff that's spoken about here, and to try to find parallels with modern science so we can bring the two things together and therefore convince more people about the value of Krishna consciousness, because Krishna consciousness can be understood by, you know, people from their previous life. They will naturally take up the path. But most people are misled, particularly by Darwinian thinkers. And another set of thinkers are those in the 50s and 60s who thought that the universe was a static state. It just stayed and went on forever and was always there. This is a very interesting thing, that the concept of the Big Bang, which came out in 1964, that was very revolutionary, because Big Bang means creation. And to this very day, many scientists, they don't like the idea of the Big Bang, because the Big Bang means a beginning. Previously, they'd always thought of a static state, that the universe was just, which very much suited Darwinian philosophers, because Darwinian philosophers are based on what's called mutation mathematics, where they think over a period of long time, the living, or perhaps as Darwin thought, he had the idea. He wrote a letter once to his followers, and he wished for. He said this. This is written out. He wished for a little warm pond. He said, "I wish for this little warm pond." What he meant by that was that there's a little warm pond. Light particles are floating into the water as Krishna, he's lying on this causal ocean. So light particles are hitting this water, and within the water there are other elements there, and they're mixing together, and somehow or other a little microbe has come about. That's what he was hoping for. And his idea is that from that little microbe, mutation happened, another mutation happened, another mutation, and so on and so forth. So this is what it's like Darwin's tree. And from one thing came another, and spread out. But these things are worked out, that the mutations are very difficult to be successful, because it's also been discovered, which is paralleling what I'm saying here, because Krishna must leave evidence of himself. So the evidence, as far as we are concerned, is that there are codes, and that's been discovered, the DNA code, A's, T's and G's, they link in to a set system of amino acids, like a string of 20 amino acids. So A's, T's and G's in different combinations fit together and create a protein machine. The protein machine inside your cell, there's hundreds of these little cells moving around, and each one of your cells, there's hundreds of nano machines. It's like a factory. Okay, now how is it that all these things fit in place? They fit in place by information technology. This has been described by scientists, and it's something. Now, what we have to consider is wherever we see information, we know it's coming from an intelligent source. So this is how Krishna creates. When Krishna says he's lying down in the causal ocean, and when he says that verse, Maya Jakshina Bhakriti Suyasi Sacharacharam Hetanu Nena, I am created, how is he doing it? Well, this evidence of coded information forming different bodies is one way he's doing it. Another way he's doing it is through atoms, because the atomic particles create different types of elements. So gold, carbon, iron, metal. You know the periodic table, right? You've been at school. So therefore, each one of these, like gold, for instance, right? You know that gold is a certain element, and that there are certain protons, you know, the proton, neutrons, and electrons. Each one, according to the amount of protons, is according to the element, isn't it? So why is that? Don't you find that in carbon there's so many protons? In another element there's so many. That's another code. Do you think that's like a code? I mean, why would you? Because, you know, unless you have these amount of protons, that makes iron, another lot of protons makes, you know, carbon, another, and so on and so forth. So why is this? This is another more evidence of code and organization. So Krishna, the evidence that there is an intelligence in the universe is seen in these two examples. Do you agree with that? I mean, why would it not be? It seems rather strange that the amount of protons in an atom determines its element. I think that's a code. And when you see the A, C's, T's, and G's, and when they form in various ways, they create certain protein machines. And if the combinations are slightly out, then it doesn't. A mutation happens. And what happens to mutation? Does it create a new species? No. It either dies out, it becomes crippled or useless. That's the evidence of mutation. So the idea that mutations cause new species is not at all confirmed in the Shastra, or in the Shastra, nor by modern science. Yet, when you go to school, in universities, you will find pictures of bears turning into whales, or it's taught widespread. This misinformation is taught, but the science does not add up. And so these are some of the points that we have to make. And some of the greatest physicists have also understood these points. Fred Hoyle, he said that as far as he's concerned, someone's monkeyed around with the universe. There seems some super intellect that's monkeying around with the universe that makes things perfect. And even Stephen Hawking, he thought that there was some order in the universe. So Krishna is telling us how these things are going on. He's mentioning it in the scriptures. And there's scientific evidence to show this. And as preachers of the Hare Krishna movement, we should become very clued up on these things. But I would say that the way for us to understand these things is only through purification of consciousness. Because if you're pure in consciousness, you'll be able to see these things very clearly. If you're crooked, you will not see these things. Therefore, apasas omagyana tarundashaganandjana shalakaya. We accept knowledge from higher source, and we study Shastra. The Shastra come in various forms. There's the Puranas, the Smritis, and the Shruti. The Shruti are like the commander. Do this, do this, do this. No question, you have to do. And then the Puranas are like a friend. Oh, if you do this, this will be the result of what you do. Have a look in the Puranas. If you're good, this will happen, like a friend. Then the Smriti is like the older sister or the good wife that comes to convince you further. This is said in the Shastra. So we have the Shruti, the Smriti, the Puranas. And the Bhagavatam, Jiva Goswami's Bhagavatam, or Vasudeva's Bhagavatam, is taking all these matters, and it's fully, everything in the Shruti Smriti Purana is put in the Bhagavatam. And then Jiva Goswami himself has further commented on the Bhagavatam and his Sandarbhas. So the epistemology, how do you know you know? Or how do you know you know you know you know? All that kind of stuff is there. And then from there, from Brahman is discussed, Paramatma is discussed, Bhagavan is discussed. And from Bhagavan, the Putti Sandarbha, how it is that one becomes a lover of Krishna is analyzed. And ultimately, you become a lover of Krishna when you get liberation. And you only get liberation when you become attracted to Krishna. This is Krishna consciousness. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching that thing. When you have love of Krishna, premanjana charita bhakti valochanina santasadevi hridayeshu valokanina yam shamashu, you see Krishna everywhere. One who sees me, everything in me, I've never lost it. Because wherever you see, Prabhupada said, don't see that tree, see Krishna. When you see a beautiful leaf on a tree, what a wonderful creation. Perfect mathematics in this leaf. Where did mathematics come from? And some people have the understanding, they know. Actually, we are discovering mathematics. Mathematics was already there. It is not that we discover mathematics. So these things are discussed. And also, relationships. Now, a Darwinian thinker will tell you, oh yeah, these relationships have evolved. A sisterly type relationship has evolved. A fatherly type relationship has evolved. A husband-wife relationship has evolved. Lovers' relationship have evolved over time. They'll tell you that, isn't it? That's what they'll tell you. No, it's not. Just as mathematics was already there, these relationships were already there. The whole material manifestation is a creation to give you an insight into divinity. Therefore, if you are a Brahmin, trained Brahmin, you will train your consciousness, and that verse, that is meaning, who is the real seer? Who is the real seer? Now, that is, this verse refers to the sun. By the sun you will see. But actually, it is not really the sun. It is the sun helps to illuminate, but the real seer is the consciousness. So the consciousness is the real seer. So the one who chants the Gayatri Mantra properly, he connects with his consciousness. And therefore, bhago means, according to our acharyas, that is like ultimately Srimati Radharani. Because you connect to divinity through his agents, through his servants, and then you engage in service and pleasing to him. If you are in that consciousness, then you will really see Krishna everywhere. And everything will be revealed, and all your misconceptions will be finished. And you will become a great lover of Krishna. And not only will you love Krishna, but you'll love every living entity. And you'll be become the perfect yogi. Yogi nam afishava sham makatina. You'll be able to control your mind and senses. When you see a beautiful woman as a man, because women are another, when you see a beautiful man or you see a beautiful woman, you will not think of being an enjoyer. You think, oh, your beauty is so wonderful. This is what you go to Krishna. This is what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said. Because when you see that beauty of a woman, it cannot be denied, like the Mayavadis. No, I don't want to see this beauty. No, oh, very beautiful. Oh, This is a reflection of the beauty of the spiritual world. So this is how to see. And so through training, through consciousness, through yoga, we can lose the influence of the modes of nature. We'll come to the mode of goodness, and then we'll see very clearly everything, and we'll be very happy. But this is an ongoing process. Anatta Nivritti, Nishta, we have to become Nishta, fixed up. Then we have to taste something, Ruchi. And in these in this ruchi platform, this is like the beginning of Raganuga Bhakti. And then even in Raganuga Bhakti, we have to do some sadhana, Raganuga sadhana. And then we have to concentrate on all these leelas, pastimes. And that's another science. The science of Varnashram takes you to another science, the science of consciousness, and the science of elevating your consciousness to get to the platform of Gyan Sunya Bhakti, where knowledge is secondary. It is bliss that we are looking for, and love and relationships. I'll just finish off by saying that Gyan Sunya Bhakti, this platform, is very important because it is the platform of knowledge is put to one side and the bliss and love is taking priority. And it's said, for instance, the gopis in the spiritual world, they don't seem to be very scholarly, isn't it? You've heard it said, they're not so scholarly, they're looking for bliss. But when they come to this world, these manjaris and gopis, they, like Rupa Manjari, he becomes Rupa Goswami. Or Jiva Goswami, and they have so much knowledge, and then the knowledge comes out, you see. So this Krishna Consciousness Movement is very nice, it's teaching all these things, so much information is there, so we personally have to just chant Hare Krishna, we have to try not to be offensive, try to minimize our offenses, become Trinada Pishanichana, Turuna Pishanichana, Maninam, Maninam, like that. And Tatdena Kumpum Susma, anything troublesome to us, take it, the whole thing on your head, your fault. That is the thing. Take it all on your head. Although one who suffers, one who does wrong or suffers wrong is wrong. When I say that, devotees think I'm... But one who does wrong or suffers wrong is wrong as well. So justice is a very important principle as well. So although tat tena kum pum sus mix manaha, you know, we'll take it all on our own head. Same time, if we suffer wrongly, that's not good. We have to have justice, and we have to have systems of justice in place. Jai Srila Prabhupada Jagat Guru Sevinta Wa Ki Jai. Any comments, questions? Everything's clear? According to Prabhupada, yes, Guru. Or you can speak loud if you want. Oh, there we are. One who does wrong, suffers wrong, suffers wrong.
Hare
Krishna. Hare Krishna.
I'm just wondering, you're talking about evidence.
Evidence, yes.
Intelligent design. And I'm just wondering if there's a danger to be found, because previously there was many things that could not be explained through the scientific model. You know, people say, oh, you know, you can't explain how the eye was formed, so therefore it must be intelligent. So yeah. Then we find something new that can't be explained.
Yeah.
Then it seems a problem that as we advance, there could be a way to explain how perhaps this information is transferred. I'm not sure the details of what you're talking about, but... So it seems like if you want to ignore the fact that there's an intelligent designer, then there's plenty of reasons to do so. Krishna allows you to think that it's all impersonal.
I see. I don't think there is any plenty of reasons to think so. Now, someone might come up with the concept that... mutations could take place. But then, okay, you have to look at it logically. So therefore, in logic, and many have studied, for instance, it will take time for mutations to be able to go from a single microbe to a human being or something like that. It's a long, long time. It's called mutation mathematics. They've worked out these things. So you have to follow logic as well. I think that some of the scientists tend to be dreamers. And I don't deny science. Science is really, really good because science is what helps us understand. The more objective science that is seen, the more it connects with intelligent design. But when we find subjective science, someone who looks at something and subjectifies, putting their own bias on it, then it is found that people tend to... But yeah, what you say is true, that free will is there, opinions about something, but we have to apply logic. So logically, like I was saying to you before, for instance, when we see A, C, T, G, when we see coded information producing a certain, and if we change that information and try to add some, like, you know, for instance, in this Srimad Bhagavatam, this letter, it means something. If we take things away from that and try to mess around with it, that word loses its meaning. So, or on your 1000 on your computer, if you take away some of the ones and zeros and just, if you mutate them, kind of, because mutation is by chance. So by chance, we'll take something away from the information and we'll hope that it produces new information. See, so logically, it just doesn't work. That's one example. In fact, Richard Dawkins was once asked, can you give me an example of a mutation that gives new positive information to the genome? You can have a look at it on YouTube. And he was stunned by the question. He couldn't answer the question. He asked the camera to be turned off and later gave some writing about it. And he said, well, Darwin... things started a long, long time ago. So, can you give me one example of a mutation that brings new positive information to the genome that creates something positive? Not a mutation, but some offshoot. We do accept microevolution, by the way. Microevolution and macroevolution are two different things entirely. Micro we accept because... For instance, in the north of England, if there was Shetland ponies in the freezing cold wind, generation after generation, those with the thickest coats will survive better than those. So there is a little flexibility regarding Darwinian philosophy, because we're accepting some parts of it, but not macro. We don't see any evidence of a whale turning into a bear turning into a whale. There is no transition seen in the fossil records. When we look at fossil records of aquatics turning into whales, when we study the in-betweens, it's been found out, actually it was a seal. It was a seal, it wasn't a whale, so and so forth. So you'll find that the Darwinians, the dumbed-down Darwinians, I call them, they're mostly crooked people who have ulterior motives. Although they're scientists, they're atheistic thinkers, generally, and they'll do anything to mislead people, and they'll post citations as fact-based science and preach it in universities all over the world. When you were at school, do you remember seeing an ape turning into a man? Right. You go to the university, go to the British Science Museum. The first thing you'll see is apes turning into men. You'll see Lucy. Lucy is supposed to be the link between men and humans, but actually Lucy had a gait like an ape. It was just a species of ape. So this kind of thing. But what is your point? That we shouldn't deny science entirely, but or it gives an alternative? Or what is your...
I'm more just curious as to how... If we've got all these defects...
Defects.
This is why the scientific process can't reach absolute truth, because the human, we have imperfect senses and we cheat and like this.
Yeah, you mean, the human being has this, yeah.
I guess the class people might need to leave.
No, I understand. So we have these things, you're saying that's coming from God.
But if we have, these defects prohibit us from reaching absolute truth by the scientific method, then how can we also use the same scientific method to prove that there's an intelligent designer?
That's a good point. Because the senses, we don't have to be cheaters. We don't have to have illusion senses. We don't have... What is the four defects? Four defects are tendency to cheat. We don't have to cheat. We can be honest. We have imperfect senses, but if our senses are purified, okay... If our senses are purified, we'll see. Therefore, omagyana tamandasya, we'll see. For instance, instead of seeing a tree, we'll see, oh, that is a manifestation of Krishna's energy. We are denying that it's Krishna's energy. We are denying that it's designed. Why are we designing it? Because we haven't got a connection with the designer. It's like... if you don't have a connection with the designer, or you envy the designer, or you don't want to know the designer, you won't see that connection with. Like, for instance, a mother, when she sees her child's shoes, she immediately connects the child's shoes to the child because of love. So if you love, you see different. Therefore, imperfect senses, the senses are purified. The cheating stops. What else is there? What's the other one?
Illusion.
Yeah, it tends to be illusion. No, be no more illusion. Why? Because what is illusion? Illusion means maya, that which is not. When you are free from maya means free from your previous conditioning. Your senses are coming in contact with sense objects. They're liking them or they're not liking them. This is called, this is the modes of nature working. So this attraction and repulsion to sense objects will be finished. You'll go beyond it. There'll be no more... what was that? Sorry, the tendency to be illusioned, yeah? What was that? Well, that's what we're talking about, isn't it? Yeah. So this illusion takes place when we are misled by our mind and senses and motives. We will see truth. And what's the other one? What's the last one? Huh? Yeah, mistake. Mistakes will be finished because we were no longer mistaken. So the pure soul in his pure consciousness, he no longer makes mistakes. He's no longer illusioned. But he uses these senses in a scientific way to analyze things. It's not that he doesn't use his senses. He doesn't use his mind. He purifies his consciousness and sees truth. That's a fact. You know, we can give examples of so many situations where someone will deny something. Look at the truth. Like, for instance, what's going on in Russia right now, right? In Russia, does anyone discuss the history of Russia and the history of Ukraine and how the Russian Orthodox Church was founded in Kiev, that city, and how the people of Russia were connected with Ukraine for hundreds and hundreds of years, and why Russia is so attached to Ukraine, and things like that. It's the closed-down code. You never find that discussion anywhere. You will find a few scholars talking about it. So this is called cheating, and it's called, why is this war taking place? Why is this terrible death happening? Was it really necessary? Could in negotiation, this is why, cheating, imperfect senses, hidden motives, so on and so forth. That's just one example, and so many other examples are there. So yeah, the idea is we have to purify our mind and senses by linking with our acharyas, who are no longer affected by their... They know they don't have imperfect senses. They don't have cheating tendency. They don't. They're not illusioned. But they use these senses correctly to look at the world. And when we look at the world and we see codes, coded information, it's an indication that there is some intelligence. So we can apply it, because that's our experience. Whenever we see coded information, it means intelligence. Can you think of any example of coded information that hasn't come from a mind? No such thing. On your computer, 10100000, and then therefore, you know, I'm looking at this. This is a series of ones and zeros. It's being put in this format because it came from an intelligence. So it's like that. So this is what we're saying. And so the intelligent design work. And what I didn't even discuss chemical combinations. Chemical combinations, it's not so easy to combine chemicals to create perfect chemical bonds. If you haven't got the chemicals in the right order, they dissolve, they explode, or they don't fuse together. So the idea of chemical evolution is foolish. Again, every single chemical combination is coded. You can't put certain things together. There's one of the leading chemists in the world, his name is James Torr, and he is a member of this Discovery Institute, and he's saying, you try to mix chemicals together, and yet they say in the early part of the life and the world, chemicals formed together. But actually they didn't, because in the early part of the world, the chemicals weren't even, and it's noted that in the early stages of this creation, not all the conditions of life were present. Like when Lord Brahma first created this universe, and this planet was very hot in the beginning, you will find that not all the chemicals not all the physical forces were in place for life to take place. And the Vedas, it says that life began in the water first. And if you look at the Cambrian explosion, suddenly all these species are found in the... Do you know about the Cambrian explosion? Yeah. So you'll find all these species already present. So this is extraordinary. No one can explain. And there's another explosion in China they found recently with all these species. But in the Vedas it says that in the beginning there was water and the species were in water. And another thing I didn't mention was, we'll finish soon, but Lord Brahma, he was holding all this information. Sariputta, our great scientific guru, he says that Sariputta says that Brahma was holding all this information. He assumes like that. You know, all the A's, T's, and G's, and all the codes. They were all with Brahma. And then the Prajapatis, he delegated some of them to the Prajapatis. And then the Prajapatis delegated them further and further. And this is how speciation takes place. That's what he says. Because in the Vedas, you'll find that ladies are giving birth to reptiles. How is this taking place? Is it some ladies taking birth to reptiles? How? It's because it's done through different processes, not the processes we feel. This information, this coded information of how to create a body was given. And the scientists today know that the Hox gene, there's one Hox gene, they think that creates bodies. They now know, actually, the Hox gene is not the lone bodybuilder. Bodybuilding is very, very complex. And they've also found waves of electric currents going on where information is taking place. So this is another thing. So later, as they conduct science further and further and further, they will find out fully how Krishna is creating. So science is a very wonderful thing. It helps us in our understanding of Krishna. And in no way does it pull us off In fact, the more science takes place, the more is evidence that there is Krishna and how he's creating. Jaya Shri Prabhupada Jagat Guru Sevanta Bhakti Hare Krishna.